And I promise you, I'm not gonna hold everybody long, because I know we got a little short business meeting right afterwards of what, you know, everything's going on and everything, so. But if you will, turn to here in the book of St. Luke, chapter 9. We see right here where they're taking the place of the transfiguration. And it says it in verse 27, says, "But I tell you of a truth, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God. And it came to pass about 8 days after these saying, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistening. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias, who appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. And when they were awakened, they saw his glory, and the two men that stood with him. And it came to pass, as they departed from him, Peter said unto Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here, and to let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. Not knowing what he said, while he thus spake there came a cloud and overshadowed them, and they feared as they entered into the cloud. And there came a voice out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved Son, hear him. And when the voice was passed, Jesus was found alone, and they kept it close and told no man in those days any of those things which they had seen. I want to look back up to verse 35 and verse 36. Verse 35, it says, And there came a voice out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved Son, hear him. What this is saying right here in this one verse, that we need to always have our ears tuned in to the right voice. And now, we don't know what voice that we're going to have to hear in the next few moments, but we can pray that it would be the voice of God. And we can tune ourselves in to God. And as long as we're tuned in with him, then Satan will not come around. Yes, he wants to discourage us. He wants to try us. He wants to close this church down. He wants to close Faith Baptist Church. And he wants to, and he don't want no other church to come in here. What he wants to do, he wants to put a close sign on the front door, and he wants to put a chain around the door handles like that, and around this door, and around the one in back, and even around the ones in the fellowship hall. He wants to put a chain there where he can lock people out, where people can't come in, because he knows if they come in, that there is a good possibility that then must that they will be raising up another church here, because it's, we know for a fact, I know for a fact, and knowing y'all's last pastor and knowing Brother Benny, I knew and I know that this church right here was built on the foundation of Jesus Christ, the solid rock. It wasn't built on no sand. It wasn't built on the sinking sand either. It was built on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. And I know that. And my prayer is that I can keep it on going just like that. I pray that I will never go in another direction than where I'm at right now, because that's not my intention. If you ever see me get to the point that I'm preaching something else and I'm not preaching the King James Bible, then you need to take me out and you need to say, preacher, you need to come down here. Come on down here. You come on down here now, and we're going to sit and talk with you. We're going to sit and talk to you. Now, that's your obligation as a whole. Now, I know that some churches and some pastors, they don't believe in allowing the ladies in the church to speak out. And I know it's biblical. But I also know, too, that if it wasn't for the ladies today of today, then over three-fourths of all the churches would be closed. Because the men will not come out to church. They will not come out and support the work of God. But the ladies, they will be here. You can count on that. Now, and I know the Brother Bill's going to be here, but I'm saying, in majority of the churches today, you can't get a man to come, a husband to come with the wife to church, because they're scared that the pastor's going to want them to do something. They're going to want them to go out there and cut the grass. They're going to want them to go out there and check all the lights and everything. They're going to want them to go out here and take out the trash. And they're going to want them to do this and to do that. Well, I'm going to tell you one thing. I'm like old David Riddle said one time. And David Riddle, I don't know if any of you ever knew him or not, but he was a slender man. And he sold this staff and everything, Raleigh. And his staff and everything. But I'll tell you one thing. He was faithful in what he done. I've been in three different churches where Brother David had been at. And the pastor didn't have to come in and ask him to do nothing. But the first Sunday that he was out at the church, he would go to the restroom to look see if it was in the trash can. And he would go and look and see if any trash anywhere else. If it was any trash in his seats. And if it was, he would pick it up. He would make sure that there was no trash left in the trash cans, in the restrooms, or trash was left in the seat. His job is just as important to God as my job, as your job, and what you do for the Lord. See, Brother David, he wanted to do something for God because he knew that where God brought him from. He knew God saved his soul. He knew that I didn't do it. He knew that I couldn't do it. But he knew God did. And we must be that close to God. We need to be that close to God. These people, these individuals right here that was walking with Jesus, Moses and Elias right here, what did they say to him in verse 36? And when the voice was passed, Jesus was found alone, and they kept it close and told no man in those days any of those things which they had seen. Other words, kept it close. They kept Jesus Christ's voice close to them. They kept his voice close to them. They kept him close to them. Why? Because they knew that they were going to be facing some problems, and they were going to be facing some obstacles that they knew that they wouldn't be able to get out of. But they was there to protect the Lord Jesus. And not only there, the Lord Jesus was there to protect them. And it tells us there right here, what the verses I just read, that Jesus Christ, he got kind of weary. He got kind of tired. He got tired of ministering and going around and talking to people and telling them. Living a Christian life, living a dedicated Christian life is tiresome. It's tiresome. Because you always need to be on the go. Because you never know where there's a soul out here that if you speak to them, they may get saved. But I'll tell you one thing, you may be tired. And your body may be getting ready to break down and everything. And you might be at the point in your life that you're almost so tired you're going to fall down. But I'll tell you one thing. But before you fall down, if you're doing it for Jesus, he's going to lead you to somebody. Somebody's going to get saved. Or somebody's going to come by and give you a little encouragement. And when they do, then you're going to just pick yourself up. You're going to go another mile or two. And you're going to go somewhere else. We need to always be about not just the Father's business, but we need to be about Jesus' business. About his business. What was his business? Well, he was a vice president of the business, and just like any other business you can go to in town and everywhere, you have the president of the company or the CEO, and then you have the vice president, and then you'll have the secretary or whatever, and you've got three individuals there. Let me ask you something. Is the president going to do what they hired the secretary to do? No. Is the president of the company? Is he going to do what he has hired the vice president to do? Nope. But see, God didn't hire the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't hire the Holy Spirit. But he still let them do exactly what they was capable of doing. Same way with us. He knows what we can do. We say we can't do that. I can't go out there and talk to people. I can't go out there and talk to a stranger. I can't. I just can't do it. Where do we get that word can't? Because we're putting ourselves in the position right then to say, I just don't want to do it. When I say I can't do it, I just don't want to do it, God. I'm sorry. I'm going to just tell you like it is. I'm not going to say I can't. I just don't want to do it for you. That's basically what we're saying. But we don't need to say that. We need to say, yes, Lord, I can do all things through you. As long as you go ahead of me, as long as you walk before me, as long as you walk down that road before I get to that road, then I can go on and I can walk right behind you. And every step when I step forward, I lift my feet up. And when I lift my feet up, it's got to go back down. And then I lift the other one up. And then it's got to go back down. We're moving for who? Moving for the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep it close. Keep it close. What do we need to keep close? We need to keep this Bible close to us. We need to keep this Bible close to our heart, close to our bosom. Well, we can take it and we can put it there. And we can hug it so tightly.
And we can just about almost feel the heartbeat of God. Wow. Right here is living. This is living. It's not a living Bible. Not the living translation or stuff like that. But it's the living Bible. Why? Because Jesus Christ, God the Father, and God the Holy Ghost, they all three still live today. They live today. How do I know that they live today? Because they're right here in my heart. How do I know? Well, I can't see him. He's not, he ain't my heart. Wait a minute now. He's not? We need to think about that thing a little bit. I know that we have a whole lot of people out here that's not saved. There's a whole lot of people out here not saved today. They don't want anything at all to do with God. But they don't realize how close God is to them. Because God gives them the breath to breathe. He gives them the air. He gives them the strength to be able to walk up and down the streets. He gives them the ability to go out here and work a public job. He gives them the ability to do what they've been trained to do on the job. Their mind, hey, a mind. Without God, we don't have no mind. Without God, I don't have no lungs to pump what air I got in, what air he breathed into my nostrils. I don't have no strength there to pump my lungs. I don't have no strength in my legs. Unless it's God. God puts his strength there. God is his strength. God is my strength. God is my breath. And he is everything to me. But some of these people, they said, well, he don't mean all that to me. Well, I'll tell you one thing. I'll say this. If you don't think God is real, then what you need to do is, you need to go to the hospital, and you need to ask them to put you on life support and then pull the plug. You don't believe in God? Why? I mean, what are you here for? The Word of God calls an individual that does not believe and does not think that there's a God, that they are fools. And I ain't no fool. And neither are you. We need to remember one thing, that he's number one. He's number one. Number one in the Word of God. It says one is the number in the Bible that stands for unity. Stands for unity. That's just not for that I believe in just the number one and I'm going to stand in unity with God. No. What he's saying is right there, he's telling us in the Word of God that the numbers have a significant place there for us to learn and to understand where he is in our life. One is the number in the Bible that stands for unity. Now, who is he speaking to? He's speaking to the local church. He is speaking to the Christians. And we're supposed to come in unity. We must not backbite. We must not talk about somebody and run somebody else down. But we must come in unity. And what does that mean, come in unity? We must come in agreement to go to God in prayer. For the individual that was thinking about. We need to pray for them. Before we even
start talking about somebody, and we do. Hey, I do too. I mean, I get on the phone, and I'll talk. I mean, me and Brother Bill, we get on there, and we start talking. But it's no gossip. I don't think it is. But you know something? But if you stay on there long enough, it's a good chance it may turn into gossip. And I don't want that. I don't want that. Unity is an important Bible doctrine. It symbolizes the unity of God. It stood for that which was unique and alone. Being the prime number, this naturally significant being. Hence, one stand in Scripture for source, unity, sovereignty, creation, chiefly God, the first, or creation, the person of the Trinity. It comes from the word unity. They become one. God the Father, and God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. They become one. They was in unity. That's how the Trinity of God come about. Because they all come together. They all come together and they believe the same identical thing. But all of them don't do the same thing. I mean, y'all heard me say it before. What the Holy Spirit, what his position is in the line of God the Father and the Lord Jesus and then the Holy Spirit, what line he's in and what his position is. And you know that I've already said, I've told you about what the position is of Jesus. But who's the head of the Trinity? Who is the head of the Trinity? God. And what they do, they're going to all do it in agreement in what God sent them out to do. God sent them out to do a particular job, a particular work. And when they got their work done, God came up and God congratulated them. And I believe that God says, well done. Well done. Hey, it's nothing that we do not do that he does not know about. Right? It's nothing that we can do, either if it's good or bad, that he does not know about. So if he knows about it, why don't we just try to always do something good? Why don't we always try to just go up to somebody and tell them, say, God loves you today. When I was going to the nursing home, always, I told the people there, I says, I know that you're over here, and sometimes nobody may not even speak to you. And I said, I want to ask you something. I said, don't that make you feel kind of bad? Nobody won't speak to you. And you'll get in your wheelchair and you'll wheel your own self down to the room. And everybody that comes, maybe walks past you, some visitor or something, or a patient there, come. Hallelujah. Well, I pray God I got another hour and a half. But always told
each one of the patients that come to hear something by God, I always told them, and I end up with this. When you leave tonight, going back to your room, when you're in that wheelchair, and you're rolling that wheelchair down to where your room is, when you go by that individual that's sitting on the outside the door, just stop and just ask them, how you doing? You don't even have to say, all you got to do is say, I love you. And God loves you. There are some people over there where they got family, but family don't come and see them. And I hate to say that. Family puts them over there. And mainly the reason the family puts them there, I believe, is just to get them out of my hair. They don't want to bother. They don't want to be bothered with them no more. But how would that child feel when that mother or that father was raising them up and they telling that child, says, well, you know, I'm going to leave today. I got to go to town. And then they'll never come back. Maybe we'll come back maybe in a month or two. I just don't want to be bothered with you no more. Sometimes I feel like that's where God is. Towards us. He said, I just don't want to be bothered with y'all no more, because you just don't do anything for me. You won't go out there and tell nobody about my love. They don't even know anything about my love, but you won't tell them. And you know that I love them and I love you, but you won't tell them. We never know what an individual is going through. We never know what an individual is facing for that day. We do not know. But one thing that we do know is that we could say a kind word to them. We can say a kind word to them. If you mean it or not, just say a kind word to them. Hey, I mean, at least they'll say, you know, somebody did speak to me today. Now, oh, at Riverside, where my mother's at, in the room she's in. Lady and Al. And her name is Miss Sowell, right?
Yeah.
Sowell. Yeah, Miss Sowell. And she has a son that lives and works over here in Alta Vista. And she's got a daughter. I think she's in Texas, right? It'd be a year or two before she ever sees either one of them, hardly. Even a son won't even drive that far from Alta Vista because he has so much other to do. But what he don't realize is, if it was not for his mother, he wouldn't be living there in Alta Vista. Matter of fact, he wouldn't even be living. Why? They just don't want the burden. And I've come to find out, too, that an individual, when you get up in age,
And when they dementia starts setting in, or Alzheimer's either one starts setting in, that they end up just like a child. Just like a child. Just like a child I was. So I need to be there to help them. We're going to all get to that place sometime in our life. If the Lord don't come back after soon. I was thinking the other day, I said, you know, I could not even believe
that here I am, 67 years old, because it does not seem like it's been that long ago that I got saved, when I was 30 years old. Time flies. Time flies by us. And I want to live as long as I can. I want to live as long as God allows me to live here. And Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. And I know, Lord God, that we have to go into the business meeting now. And Father, I pray, Lord, that you'll just be with us there. And for Father, we just want to thank you for thy precious word tonight, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. Hallelujah.